Does South Africa run the risk of two education systems where only the rich or only the very poor go to university, whilst those in the middle cannot access higher education? We know, of course, the so-called missing middle, those who are too poor to afford university but not poor enough to qualify for government funding, is a problem. We know what happened when students all over South Africa took to the streets to fight for free education. Well, one pocket of good news is that Wits University has managed to secure 150 million rand for the missing middle. We're joined now by the outgoing Vice Chancellor of that university, Professor Adam Habib. Always a pleasure to chat to you. A very good morning. This is welcome news.
It is welcome news. I mean, we've got it from Aneti Kirsch, an alumnus was at Wits University in the 1950s. This is an individual who is regarded as one of South Africa's foremost entrepreneurs. He's done really well, both in South Africa and globally. And what he has said is that he would like to make a contribution to the institution so that it gives others the foundation that we were able to give him in the 1950s. And that money will be dedicated effectively to sponsoring the missing middle students, to providing them with support so that talented missing middle students can come to Wits University.
I mean, obviously, this would be something you would be committed to, but just explain the importance of investing in research-intensive universities like Wits.
So, I mean, I think that there's no better time to understand the importance of research-intensive universities than this pandemic. If you look at what has happened in this pandemic, right, when we were confronted with it, where did we do all of the vaccine trials? It happened at the research-intensive universities. Where was the advice provided on how we should rethink economic policy? It came from individuals located at the research-intensive universities. I often say that the value of the research-intensive universities is captured, perhaps most potently, by Steve Biko. He says, you can never be free until your mind is free. In my view, if you extrapolate that South Africa or Africa can never be free until it's capable of telling its own stories, until it's capable of producing its own technologies. And those stories and technologies are not going to be developed unless you have research institutions capable of doing that. And it seems to me that that's really where the value of research institutions are in this historical moment.
Yeah. Look, 150 Rand is a substantial donation. I understand, in fact, one of the largest, certainly, that's been made to Wits University. It'll go some way in assisting with the missing middle at your institution. But have we learned the lessons? I mean, it's 5 years since fees must fall, since we saw students all over the country taking to the streets, demanding free education. Have we learned lessons?
I'm not so sure we've learned the real lessons that need to be learned. Just think about it, right? So what Jacob Zuma did at the end of 2017, for whatever reasons that he may have done it, he said that all those with a family income of less than 350,000 would be paid for comprehensively. Tuition, fees, accommodation, subsistence, equivalent to perhaps one of the most substantive support anywhere in the world. Not even Germany does such comprehensive support. But what the cost of that meant is that effectively something like 45% of the university system gets covered. Large percentage of the university system is still not covered. So if you take a place like Wits, 60 to 65% of our students are missing middle. There's about 22% that qualify for NSFAS, and then about 15% can pay for themselves. The vast majority of people at Wits University are missing middle students, and their challenge has not been resolved, even though 5 years ago, Wits University was at the epicenter of that protest. And it applies not only to Wits, it applies to UCT, it applies to UJ, it applies to many, many of these institutions. Yeah. And that's the challenge that we've got to this thing. I ask you a second challenge for which I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to ask you. In the last 3 years, we have spent more money through NSFAS on the historically black universities, as it should be, because that's where the poorest of our students are.
Yeah.
But ask yourself this question. Are the historically black universities any more stable 3 years later than 3 years before? And if they're not, we have to ask ourselves, why are we spending $40 billion extra per annum on them if that's not the case? I think we need to have some seriously hard questions. And I don't think we have honest conversations in the public discourse around these issues.
Well, let's try. I mean, is this all too politicized, do you think, across the board?
I frankly think too much of it is politicized. I think too many politicians are involved in making these decisions. We need more technocrats, and we need more less party political decisions in this regard. That's what I think we are. And we need to understand that public policy requires trade-offs. I worry that there's too little resources going to the research-intensive universities. And if we continue like this in the coming years, in 5, 10, 15 years, when there's a new pandemic, we won't have institutions capable of clinical trials of the kinds of research and technologies that we are currently capable of. We will destroy our research universities if we don't watch the funding streams that are drying up towards them. And if we lose our research universities, you can forget inclusion. You can forget growth. There is no getting South Africa out of the mess that it is in. And I think those are the hard questions that we need our public policy experts, not short-term political gain, but hard questions that we need to address.